Blog Talk Radio.
All right. What is it? All right. It's October 29th. Snow is flying outside. I noticed the strike and the cold weather, our listenership has really went up on Saturday night and Sunday night. So thank you very much. But that's to be expected when it gets cold outside. It always happens that way.
Right.
Let me get 313 on while he's 313, you're on also.
Why, thank you. How are you, everybody tonight?
Very good, sir. Are you working tonight?
I am working tonight. But I thought I'd step outside so you didn't have to listen to the garbage.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it's nice and quiet if you're working.
Yeah, I just saw Carrie throw some beer cans out into the bushes, so I think she should be on that, too.
Okay. Oh, Carrie, what a mess. Let me get Adrian on. We've got a lot of people on the switchboard. If you like to join the show, just push 1. We're going to try to connect to the Solantis. Is it the Solantis press conference? I can't hear you. What?
Fords.
Hold on. Fords. I'm sorry.
Fords Live.
Yeah.
Live.
November 2nd. I think November 2nd is Solantis, right?
Correct.
I'm on top of it.
Yeah, you are.
You wish you were on top of it.
Yeah. That's a fact. We got the grinder in here. That's Adrian, by the way. And who else? We got a lot of people. Wow.
What am
I,
the hoagie?
Work. I don't even want to tell you what you are. 313.
So I'm probably going to jump off and try to listen to Sean Fain tell me that I still don't have a retirement after
yeah, you
I
guys
retire.
Shutting down? Are you guys shutting down for it?
Who?
Is your shop going to shut down for the announcement?
No. Why would they?
Oh, Jesus.
No.
I thought maybe they would
it's
shut
on,
down.
Okay,
we're going to play it. If I can get it, where is it at? Is it the first one? Okay, here we go.
The stand-up strike
we're gonna do this show.
Go down history as an inflection point for our union and for our movement.
Everybody mute your phone, please.
Just over 7 weeks ago, I asked you all if you had faith. I asked you if you were ready to move mountains. The members of Michigan Assembly, Local 900, Chicago Assembly Local 551 and Kentucky Truck Local 862 heard the call.
In 7 rounds of negotiations, I've never seen anything like the agreement we're here to present you tonight. These national negotiators who are with us here tonight are some of the toughest, smartest leaders I've ever met in my time in this union. With them at the table, with our members on the picket lines, we became a force to be reckoned with. The companies didn't see it coming. We fought like hell, and we won like never before. Tonight, we're going to do our best to talk through some of the details of this tentative agreement. Many documents with a lot of language, and as you know, it all comes down to the details. So we won't cover everything, but we want to go a little deeper on what we've won. Let's get into it.
We went to each of the big three and proposed an expiration date of April 30th, 2028. We did this for several reasons. First, this allows us to strike on May Day or International Workers Day. May Day was born out of an intense struggle by workers in the United States to win an 8-hour day. That's a struggle that is just as relevant today as it was in 1889. Even though May Day has its roots here in the United States, it is widely celebrated by workers all over the world. It's more than just a day of commemoration. It's a call to action. We invite unions around the country to align your contract expirations with our own so that together we can begin to flex our collective muscles. if we're going to truly take on the billionaire class and rebuild the economy so that it starts to work for the benefit of the many and not the few, then it's important that we not only strike, but that we strike together. Secondly, we demanded a longer contract because one of our biggest goals coming out of this historic contract victory is to organize like we've never organized before. When we return to the bargaining table in 2028, it won't just be with the big three, but with the big five or big six.
We have won a 25% increase to GWI. That's 11% immediately, 3% in October 2024, 3% in October 2025, 3% in October 2026, and 5% in October 2027. The top rate, going off the most common production rate, will go from $32.05 right now to $40.82 by the end of the contract. With our new COLA, we estimate the top rate at the end of the agreement will be up to $42.60 an hour. Our skilled trades after COLA will be up to $50.50 an hour. Our starting rate will go up from $18.04 right now to $30.35 after estimated COLA. That puts the starting rate above $30 and the top rate above $40. Skilled trades will be making more than $50 an hour by 2028. When we say this is a record contract, we mean it. UAW members at Ford will receive more in straight general wage increases over the next 4.5 years than we have over the last 22 years combined. At ratification, Ford workers will receive an immediate 11% wage increase. That's almost equal to all the wage increases since 2007 combined.
Another massive victory was in shortening the wage progression from 8 years to 3. This is back to what our union had in the 1990s. Let me explain how this works. If you have 3 or more years of seniority right now, you will go to top rate immediately upon ratification. If you have 2 years, you'll go to step 3, which is 85% of the top rate. If you have 1 year in, you'll go to step 2, which is 75% of the top rate. If you're on step 1, you'll start at 70% of top rate. The punchline is that everyone will get at least an immediate 11% raise on ratification. Our members who aren't currently at top rate will get from 20 to 46% raises immediately, depending on what step you're currently on. And going forward, all new hires will be at top rate after 3 years.
For our members at Sterling Axle and Rawsonville, the immediate raises are even more dramatic. We have killed the divisive wage tier, and those members will go to the main production rate. Immediate raises at Sterling Axle and Rawsonville will range from 53 to 88%, depending on the rate. On top of that, upon ratification, members will receive a $5,000 lump sum ratification bonus. For the first time ever, this will include temporary workers as well. Let's talk about temps.
Ending the abuse of temporary workers was a top goal for our national negotiators. Thanks to the power of the stand-up strike, we made historic gains for temporary workers. Most importantly, we've ended the system of perma-temps. We raised the pay for all temporary workers from $16.67 to $21 an hour. Upon ratification, all active temps with 90 days of employment will be immediately converted to full-time status. Moving forward, all temps automatically converted after 9 months of continuous employment, and those 9 months count towards their progression. Thanks to the reduced progression, a temporary worker hired after ratification will start at $21 an hour and make over $40 an hour by the end of the agreement. That's a 145% wage increase and does not include the additional amount they will make thanks to cost of living allowance. And just like Chuck said, for the first time since profit sharing was first introduced in our union over 40 years ago, all temporary workers will receive profit sharing checks starting in 2024. Additionally, temps are now eligible for paid bereavement leave and paid jury duty leave, and all temporary workers will also receive the $5,000 ratification bonus.
In 2009, when the economy and the company were struggling, we suspended COLA, our cost of living adjustment. 14 years later, COLA still wasn't back. Some people said it never would be. But this strike made the impossible possible. Together, we won back COLA. We estimate that COLA will add more than $8,800 to everyone's paycheck over the life of the agreement. And at the end of the contract, those COLA raises, minus 5 cents, will be folded into our base pay. It's a major victory that protects us from inflation now and keeps our base wage growing into the future.
We've gone through the hourly raises that everyone's going to receive. Now we'll talk about the total economic gains that members will make over the life of the contract. Between wage increases, cost of living allowance, annual bonuses to retirees, and other economic gains, there is more value in gains for our members in each individual year of this agreement than the entirety of the 2019 agreement. This deal puts more money on the table than the 2019 agreement four times over. So when we say historic, we mean it. It starts with a ratification bonus of $5,000, an 11% wage increase, and it grows from there. For every member, the money will be significant. For many members, it will be life-changing. Over the next 4.5 years, temporary workers who are converted to full-time will make up to an additional $193,300 more than they would have if their pay stayed stuck at their current rate. Because we ended the wage tier at Rawsonville and Sterling Axle, those workers will make up to an additional $195,800 over that same time period. Even our production workers, who are already at full rate, will still gain up to an additional $70,000 by the end of the contract. That's more than their annual salary under the previous contract. I want to stress that these numbers do not include profit sharing. Profit sharing will add even more gains to all auto workers.
Ford came to the table with a concessionary profit sharing proposal. They wanted to cut our profit sharing. We shut that down pretty quick. But then we did them one better. We didn't just maintain our profit sharing, we enhanced it. We added Ford credit back in. If the new enhanced formula was in use last year, we would have received an additional $1,200 on our profit sharing checks. In 2007, the employers went all in on a divide and conquer strategy for the American auto worker. They introduced the two-tier system, where some get a pension and post-retirement health care and some don't. We fought like hell to undo that damage of the past 15 years in this contract. And we made a lot of progress towards real retirement security for all our members. We have not yet ended the 2007 tier on retirement benefits. But we have won things we haven't seen in years, if ever, for all of our members and current retirees. We all deserve a dignified retirement. Our current retirees have finally won back annual bonuses, with five payments of $500 each. That's the first time we've had annual bonuses for current retirees in 16 years. Our active members who have pensions are getting an increase in the multiplier for the first time since the 2003 contract. For active members, currently building their pensions, we secured an immediate increase in the life income benefit of $5 per year of credited service for all future retirees. Our members who have 401k plans are getting a huge boost. With this agreement, Ford's employer contribution to your 401k will jump to 10%. Let's put that into perspective. If you're at top rate right now, Ford puts about $6,300 into your 401k each year. At the end of this agreement, when you're at top rate, Ford will put $11,000 into your 401k each year. That's a 72% increase. We are boosting the hell out of these 401ks and doing everything we can to secure our retirements.
Everything we gain in this agreement is only as good as our job security. In this round of negotiations, we said we were going to make sure our jobs were protected in every way possible. We won a historic victory that for years thought was impossible. We won the right to strike over plant closures. That means if Ford starts closing a plant, we have the right to strike the entire company. That is our most powerful tool against these companies trying to kill our jobs and gut our communities. We also know that the electric vehicle transition is a pivotal moment for our union. We've said for months, we refuse to allow the EV transition to become a race to the bottom. Corporate America is not going to force us to choose between good jobs and green jobs. That's a false choice. So we've secured a pathway for thousands of EV and battery jobs to come under our master agreement at master agreement wages. The Marshall Battery Plant will have transfer rights for any surplus UAW members at Ford, and it will automatically come under the master agreement after a card check process. The Tennessee Electric Vehicle Center in Memphis will also have transfer rights for surplus UAW members at Ford, as well as transfer of operations opportunities, and will come under the master agreement as soon as the majority of their workforce is made up of UAW members or after a card check process. The punchline is, in the near future, we will likely have thousands of additional UAW members at the Marshall Battery Plant and the TEVC Assembly Plant under our master agreement.
On product and investment, we won more than $8 billion in investments in our plants by the end of the agreement. From assembly to engine, from transmission and driveline to stamping, we have kept existing product in our plants, and we have won new product that will keep members on the job.
We won some big improvements in securing time off the job. We also ended the tiers on vacations. In progression, workers with 20 years or more seniority will now get an extra 40 hours of vacation. In this new agreement, plants can only mandate 1 week of vacation to be used for plant shutdowns, down from two. That means you can use your subpay and not burn an extra week of vacation time just because the company says so. We got 2 weeks paid parental leave for the first time in our history. We're parents too. We have families too. We also won the Juneteenth holiday, a day of historic importance for our country that our members deserve to commemorate.
We walked away with more subcommittee agreements in this round of negotiations than at any time in the past few decades. In past negotiations, we left a lot of subcommittee demands on the table. That's why there are so many more gains in this highlighter and so many more gains in this agreement than any of the other contracts in recent memory.
You can find the highlighter and contract language online at uaw.org/Ford2023. Please go look for yourself. Talk to your coworkers. Talk to your family. And let's move forward together. So here's what happens next. This agreement now goes to regional meetings so your local leadership can get all the information they need on what's in the deal. That will help them answer your questions at local informational meetings to come later this week. After there's been time to debate and discuss, each UAW member at Ford will get to cast their vote for this deal at local union meetings. This contract demonstrates the incredible power that workers have when they are not afraid to use it. This is why your national negotiators, the UAW Ford National Council, Vice President Browning, and myself wholeheartedly endorse this record-breaking agreement. We went to Ford with the goal of not leaving a dime on the table, and we accomplished that. But the choice about what happens next is up to all of you. No matter what you decide, this contract remains a huge victory. For far too long, we were being left behind by an economy that only works for the billionaire class. In the billionaire's economy, working class communities continue to get left behind, plants continue to close, families continue to struggle, while the CEOs and the wealthy pocket every last dime. This contract is about more than just economic gains for auto workers. It's a turning point in the class war that's been raging in this country for the past 40 years. For too long, it's been one-sided, and working class people have been left behind. That's why this contract is more than just a contract. It's a call to action to workers everywhere to organize and fight for a better life. The auto workers at Ford just won a major battle in the fight for a better world. Billionaires aren't going to save the American dream. Working class people are saving the American dream. The UAW is saving the American dream, and we are doing it together. Thank you and good night.
Well, there you go. And you can, whoop, it disappeared. Okay. Well, Scotty, the grinder, 313, what, or Missy, you're up there.
I'm here with Bob.
Okay, hi, Bob.
Still didn't have a retirement for me.
There you go. Well, they threw a lot of money at people, but that's all I heard so far. I don't really know.
Well, they threw a lot of money at the peers.
Well, that kind of guarantees it's going to pass, you know, now
but
that they get a $5,000 bonus and
168% pay raise and
and
comes
well,
for the traditional.
Good too, but there's still tiers.
No.
I don't like that. 314.
Well, I agree.
Hold on for a minute, Gene. 314, you're on. Also?
Donnie, now I listened to that. That sounds great to me.
Now, if you
from
like
what
money.
I know. Huh?
Yeah, money. Yeah, the money is good. Yeah, but there's still tiers. And I thought they were going to try to get rid of the tiers, but I guess not. But, yeah, the money is really good.
Yeah, I don't know about the tiers. I just know that's the difference between the North and the South. They got the good points and the bad points.
Hold on for a minute, fellas. Hold on. What the hell is that? Oh, Jesus. That's what happens when you got NBC News on your feet.
Now, your politicians won't like that, especially Biden and his crew, the swamp. So I think it's good.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a lot of pissed off people, I'm sure. But I don't know how good. We got some Ford people here. Let me get Skype on, and 313, you're also on. Adrian, you're from Ford. What do you think?
Well, I'm just in favor of whatever the members decide they want to do.
Well, I know that.
The one thing that I can't, and I must repeat it again. If that little statement is in there about renegotiate and reopen the contract, and it stops right there. me personally will vote no, because I know what happens right after a ratification of a contract with that.
Hold on for a minute.
I'm also looking at the fact
Hold on, Adrian. Hold
that
on.
There
Somebody's
is
making
no
some noise.
Provision. There's no provision.
Hold on.
Okay.
Oh,
there's
go
no
ahead.
Provisions for our newer members after they work 30 years. The 401k was something that was already offered to us. They, of course, the company didn't put any funds in it. That was something we did on our own. But health care is major.
Right.
And so, I mean, and this is why I say I can't tell people to how to vote. But what I can say is vote, but think about others also when you're voting for yourself.
All right.
That's my take.
Scotty, what's your take?
Well, try to access down and read through the whole PDF file. It sounds like it didn't end the tears. It did bring the temporary wages up drastically. This goes back to years ago. It sounds like the retirees are going to get like a $500 gift card once a year. I know that there's going to be a spot where they can only force you to take 1 week of your vacation time if they have a shutdown. The seniority, the traditional workers, I felt, in my opinion, we've given up a lot more in the past before a lot of the temps have come aboard, and that we were left behind. That's how I look at it.
Amen.
The pension increase was what, $5 for every year of service? Up to 30? Is that what I heard him say?
Yeah.
So that'd be what? If you had 30 years, that'd be in and if you have a traditional, that'd be $600. If you did three, yeah. No, you're right. $5, not 50. Wow. Wow.
$150 a month is what it would be.
Isn't that something? Well,
who do we have on here? I just, we got a Skype. We got 313. Is that Jesse?
Yeah. This is Skype.
Oh, okay, Skype.
I work for four.
Good evening.
I work for Ford's, and I see all the money that they're pissing in on this EV shit that they're getting from the government, that they're getting from us people. And I think they're coming to the notion that it's not going to work, at least not now. But, I mean, my plant's pretty much all going electric vehicle.
Yeah.
Fine line for transmissions now, and they say that'll be there till 2023 or 32. But then it's hard to say because my line right now, from what I understand, is supplying Europe, China, and Turkey. So we're not putting them in anything here. I'm getting ready to retire. And I know that they took your COLA, the retirees, and they said they were going to give it back.
Mm-hmm.
The sad part about it is, excuse me a second, I got to put this on hold. Well, we got something back, but we didn't get back what they took to begin with.
No.
You stop and think about the 3% and the bonus, 3% bonus, three or four-year contracts in a row. 3% bonuses, if they rolled over, would have added up to be a little bit more. You know, because I mean, I'm not greedy for money, but it's like they're going to go up to $41 an hour, and I made $31, which ain't no problem because I set myself up to retire.
Right.
66. I've seen a shit show from the word go at this plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a couple other ones at other plants. But, I mean, I'm going to have to say that I'm going to say that most of the newer people are going to probably drop BS on it because they don't see what's in the future for them because, oh, we're going to get this raise and we're going to, you know, forget the sign-in bonus. Put it in our, you know, put it in a paycheck.
Right.
So we don't get taxed like a bonus because that's just paying back the loans for GM and Stellantis. You know, we didn't borrow no money.
But, yeah, you did.
You borrow money?
You guys leveraged the whole company. Ford leveraged the whole company. If you wouldn't have had a job, if Ford wouldn't have made it through the bankruptcies that we made it through.
Exactly.
Because, so
we made it through
because
we took concessions.
You guys were able to secure a loan. And, you know, I'm tired of hearing this bullshit about GM and Stellantis because they couldn't secure a loan because the economy took a shit. And we paid all that money back. And I'm a legacy employee just like you. And we got screwed in this contract, just like all the past contracts, for the 60% of the new hires to get 10% towards their PSP. I would have liked to have seen them give us 5% towards our PSP if that's the case. Because, you know something, they have the opportunity to make $4 an hour more than us with the benefits that they use them to pay for their freaking retirement, and you got to live long enough in your retirement to get any of the benefit of a pension. So you know what? I want it now. I don't want it in my pension anymore because, you know what, very few people live more than 5 years after they retire. So, you know, I mean, that's a bargaining chip they didn't even look at, and there's bullshit about all the tiers. They get 3 years. In 1997, when I started, it took you 3 years to get the top pay. There is no more tier if they do that now. In 3 years, they're going to be up to top pay. Okay? So you know what? We've leveraged everything for the new hires. There's 60% of them. You're damn right it's going to pass because they see dollar signs.
Yep, you're right.
Yeah, when we're all in our graves and they're waiting for retirement and everything's shipped over here and it's made here, but that's it. I mean, you know, stop and think about it. Ford's all over the world, and the only thing we're based on is what's in America, which I can understand, but,
yeah,
you know, they made, what, $70 billion in 12 years? That's profit.
That's good money. Carrie, I got you on, dear.
Hi, everybody.
Hello. You're at Ford.
Hi.
What do you think?
Hi.
Carrie?
What? Oh, what do I think?
Yes. You're at Ford. You're a worker.
Yeah, I don't take much. Where I'm at, like, with, you know, being a legacy, it's too long to wait, not enough up front, just like everybody else is saying. I mean, you know, I had my husband listen. He goes, well, all this, we got to catch people up. And what did you say?
That Sean Fain said a lot about making sure that people were being caught up.
Yeah.
Catching up.
That he was catching us all up. Well, how are we being caught up? We took the major concessions. We're getting left behind.
Yeah. 12 years in a bad contract with no legacy work.
Yeah. Just like you said, 12 years of bad contract, and the legacy people, the ones that took the major concessions, are being left behind. That's how I feel. And it's not that I don't want the tiers and the temps and all them to make good money. That's not it. I just don't think there's any equality here.
I see your point. I see your point.
And I'm in agreement with you, Carrie.
I'm going to write that down right now. The grinder is in agreement with Carrie.
Well, here's one of the things. And, you know, I'm not complaining because, you know, I'm good. But I was there for all those concessions in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm going to say this about that. We had a corrupt leadership at the time. They made those deals with the companies, and they brought them to us and at Ford because we knew that the Ford family had put the blue oval up as collateral. They used that and said, you know, well, we need to make this concession, that concession, so that Ford could stay afloat. Okay, well, Ford did stay afloat. Ford did not file bankruptcy. Ford did have a line of credit.
Right.
And, but yet and still, over all those years, no concessions were returned. So, and they weren't in writing. That's where the problem is.
Well, you know, Adrian, with how some of the tier, the where, I mean, there was time, but where they came, how it happened where they opened the floodgate and the union let them do it was, I remember being at my home plant, Rockingville, and the union coming around and saying, well, in order for us to have jobs and stay working, we're going to have, the company needs some temps and tiers, and the agreement is when one of you retires, they're going to move up to full pay. What happened to that? Nothing. Because they didn't put it
that
in.
That was
writing.
A lie. It was a lie.
Liars.
They were getting bought off. Come on.
Yes, they lied to us.
Yeah, they did. Ghetto Finger. I remember Ghetto Finger on our monitor saying, whatever we give up, as soon as they make a profit, we'll get it all back. And Ghetto Finger retired to Kentucky.
Right.
Oh, Lordy mercy.
I remember that. You're right.
Yeah.
The retirees that lived through this and worked through this. But we get a $500, well, I don't know about General Motors, but you get a $500 gift card. Come on.
Oh.
And then you have to pay taxes
I'm
on
excited.
It.
I'm excited.
You know,
I don't get to vote on this, so that's why I don't really have a whole lot to say about it, because the active members get to vote. The retirees don't. The only thing that we could do as retirees is try to educate you toward some of the tricks and traps.
Why are monsters afraid to eat goats?
This is already passed. Right now, this thing is already passed. Because money talks, bullshit walks, and tears will vote. It's a yes vote, no doubt about it. No question asked. You know, they could vote tomorrow and this thing would pass.
What, Donnie, yep. Let me ask
you. Oh, have we been bamboozled again
pension?
And set up again?
What's that now?
And set up again?
I don't know what
because
you said, Adrian. Let's say that again.
As it was stated, you know, there's nothing for the legacy. So, have we been bamboozled and set up again?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you guys should have been making this money a long time ago. A long time ago. You really haven't gained anything. And there was a gentleman trying to get in, and I don't know who that was.
It wasn't a gentleman, it was me.
No. There was a... No, I know your
No,
voice.
That was me asked the question, Donnie. I'm getting ready to leave. But do they still have their pension or everything 401k?
What is that? Hello? I have to mute everybody to get the noise to stop because I will do that.
Somebody's flying.
Mute your phone. We're not interested in your flight plans, please.
Yeah. Well, sorry, Pianchi. Dropped. Now, let me...
Siri, do you have a question?
Hold on for a minute. Pianchi asked the question, and It was about, they still have 401s, Bianchi. They do. And they raised it, I think, what is it, 11,000? I don't know. I don't get one, so I didn't pay much attention. But go ahead, Gene.
Scott and I were talking, and one of the things that I had suggested that should have been done, and maybe Carrie and Bob can confirm, they should have immediately raised the base or the top pay by $8 an hour immediately, and then 25% over the contract after that. And according to their calculations, then the hiring rate schedule would be 70%, and then 75% of that, you know, for after 52 weeks, and then after 104 weeks, they're 85%, and then after 156 weeks, they're a cap rate. That would have brought everybody up, everybody whole, no tiers. It would have, you know, but if the traditionals would have been taken care of then, as far as pay goes.
Yeah, because we're still playing catch up again.
I think Carrie's hubby said it perfect. Yeah. You know, everybody's being brought up to legacy or whatever they call it now. Hell, I don't know.
Traditional.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, here's one. Hey, Adrian, you're still there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian here.
Okay. I know how we try to remind people about history, and don't forget what happened in the past. Well, in 2011, Chuck Browning was administrative assistant to Bob King. In 2015, he was the executive administrator to Dennis Williams. And in 2019, he was the director for 1A. He's been around this, and now he wants to get up and talk a mean game? Bullshit. Okay? You know what I'm saying, Adrian? People need to remember where this stuff come from.
This is true.
There
are some things that I could really talk to you about, but I will not do this over the air.
I got you.
About Chuck Browning. And, but Chuck Browning is our VP, and that's all I got to say about it.
And you said a mouthful.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think $295 for the active worker going into retirement who might have been waiting for this agreement before they retired, probably had a little bit higher expectations than $295 a month added, considering you haven't had an increase, in their own words, since 2003.
Correct.
Well,
it should be at least around $4,000 a month, at least.
Right. Or this could work for anybody with a traditional pension and one of the big three. Get rid of the Social Security carve-out. Let us have our full pension and Social Security, and you wouldn't have to worry about doing a pension increase. You would have had it.
Yep.
And that would put everybody around $5,000 a month.
Yep. Yep. Agreed.
What's that?
Go ahead, Carrie.
Skype?
No, I just...
Go ahead,
Bob.
I think there'll be some buyout offers. I'm gonna see.
There is. It's $50,000. I had to pull up the PDF file again, tell you what page it is. It's for a set amount of people after ratification, and it's gonna be $50,000. But they're not calling it a retirement incentive. They're calling it an actual buyout. And it's like, well, know, words of grace.
Yeah.
Oh.
Language
here,
is very important.
Separation packages, enterprise-wide buyout offerings. Your UAW bargaining committee was successful in negotiating enterprise-wide buyout offerings to our legacy members. There they are insulting us. The special retirement incentive SRI will be for $50,000 gross pre-tax for an unlimited number of Alpha Production and Skilled Trades members. The sign-up period for the SRI will be determined by the national parties, and all eligible applicants will be required to retire during the 2024 calendar year by 12/1/24. There it is. That's out of the highlights.
SRI is standard retirement incentive, which means that it's not a buyout. It's like the old $25,000 car voucher they gave you, $15,000
gotcha.
In cash. That's what that is. So what they're saying is if you have, whatever, 29 years and you want to get out within the 30th year, you'll get the 50 grand if you retire on time and et cetera. So that way they get rid of more of us traditional employees and it cuts their cost by that much more.
Yep. And backfill with temporaries.
Yep.
And backfill with temporaries. Nice.
And then,
yep.
Then I got
yep.
a feeling the traditional worker will be screwed. really
You know, when we popped this, started talking about this, we got to hear some of the things that they were talking about with Stellantis. And it appears Stellantis has got a much richer tentative agreement than what Ford got.
How's that, Scott? In what area?
They got Belvedere back. The
yeah.
people who transfer out of Belvedere will be able to transfer back. They will get paid sub-pay and all health benefits until they have new work, which is supposed to be within 2 years. And they're going to pay all their employees, all the striking employees back pay back to September 18th. I'm trying to remember what all it was. There was a bunch of things that made that offer look a little more lucrative than what Ford had.
Yeah, Miss Belvedere that was calling our show wanting to know how to get back. Well, she got some good news today. Or the other day, rather. You know who I'm talking about, Scott?
Yes, sir. I'm trying to talk. Gene, we're trying to figure out this language on...
talk to the show, Scott. You're on the show.
Oh. All right, so what Gene's trying to point out to me is it looks like they did eliminate tiers because you're going to start out on your first 52 weeks. You'll be at 70%. Then upon completion of the 52 weeks, you go 75, then 104,
mm-hmm.
you go to 85, then 156 weeks is top rate. And that's the other thing, 4.8 years. You could have done
that?
It on May Day in 3.8 years. Why did you throw almost an extra year in our contract? I thought that was to bring our contracts back to 3 years again.
I
was mistaken.
I thought it was going to be go back to 3 years.
Yeah. Well.
Man.
With the 52 work consecutive week work thing. You better, the new hires better be happy that they made it 4 years or whatever they're making it, because the way they did it, every time you negotiate a contract, they've been back screwing the people that didn't have that weren't up to top pay and rolling them into the new contract. So they might have had to wait another 2 years to get the top pay. Okay.
Right.
And that's what we did last time. With this, in 3 years, even if you're 6 months behind due to a leave of absence or something, everybody should be able to make it to top pay. So at least there's a little bit of a cushion there. In the last contract,
right.
there was no cushion.
Right. At General Motors, the language was in our national contract that if you broke time within a certain time, you had to start all over from zero again, which almost solidified that none of those temporaries would ever get to that point.
Yeah, that's if you had a break in time longer than 30 days for uncompensated benefits and wages, basically.
Right, right.
There's still a question on that, because if you notice, they said continuous service. So if you have a break in there of 30 days, are you dropping back down again?
Yep.
Okay. So something like, let's just take COVID, for instance, when we were down for 10 weeks in the industry and having that language, it leaves it up to the union leadership and the company to discuss that matter to temporary employees whole for that reason. So if that language continues, again, it's a matter of bargaining on that issue if it arises. So
my suggestion
it leaves
is
it as an open door.
When they roll this tentative agreement out at Ford, because that's the one we're talking about right now, I would suggest that question is asked about the continuous service part. What do you mean about continuous service? If I have a break, how long of a break before you drop me back down to whatever? Those are questions that need to be asked and answered. Because it did show it in the bullets.
You dropped your wages 30 days.
And so I recommend, too, you get that tentative agreement, those highlights, and you read them. Don't go by what was shown there. You need that in your hand, and you read it. And then you can highlight, you know, and put questions. If you have questions about certain things, ask the questions on those when you go to the rollout.
The problem with everybody trying to get everybody to read it is they see dollar signs, and when you bring them questions up at the international agreement, you know, when they're pushing the agreement, okay, they got to look it up in their paperwork because they don't even know what they bargained for. Because when the 52-week implementation went into effect, I questioned them at Fairfax, Kansas, and the local membership as well as the international had to look it up to figure out what they were doing, and they said that no one in any of the other plants that they had been to had asked that question. It was one of the best questions they had. And another thing that we asked them was, there was one other major question, about the guarantee when they gave up the plant closure and the guaranteed work. Okay, we brought that up. It was the first time in the history of our contracts they'd ever taken that out, which basically set us up for failure at all the plants, because at any time, GM, Ford, and Chrysler could have moved every facility in the United States to Mexico or overseas. And that was one of the big things that they didn't tell the membership, because I pointed both of them aspects out in the questioning. And when people heard that, they said, I wish I'd have voted no. And the people that didn't vote, in fact, did vote no in Fairfax, and that's why we refused the contract.
Hear, hear. I've been through something like that. Don was there when I asked the top administrative executives, the vice president, some questions, and they had a huddle. I had to tell them what page on the white pages that I was talking about, so they knew where I was at.
Same
here. Exactly what you're talking about. For all those Ford people who are listening, UAW.org/Ford2023 for your white pages. Go dig in. Go dig in. Just saying. Everybody catch that?
Yes, Scott.
Okay.
Repeat it,
okay,
please.
UAW.org/Ford2023. And that should take you to your white pages. I believe the old white pages are still available. I don't know how to find them, but they're there somewhere. So if you want to try to compare those side by side.
Now, when you talk to white pages, what do you mean? Agreement that they don't have in the office or they don't give you?
Yeah, the master, the copy of the master.
They didn't even hand out contract books last time.
What?
We got it. We got it in the fourth year.
What?
Jeez.
We got it in the fourth year. You had to go ask for it.
Are you kidding me?
No.
No, if you got the full set, you got lucky. I mean, even
well,
if
thank
you got
very much
one,
because
a year
right.
That
they say go
like,
online and look it up. It's like don't do that. Get it in.
Well, who's
in writing.
That? Who's got time when they're hustling on a line? To hey, you know what? Hey, buddy, you know what? Can I get a body here? Because I'm gonna have to find a computer. I gotta get on, look on my contract because they don't want to give out books. What?
Thank you.
Everybody, every member should have all the sets of the book printed in a timely fashion.
Right. Usually it's within 18 months.
Well, with situation in our membership, I don't think half of them can read. Yeah, but for those of you that can, and you go into the union office and they give you all but one, it's like, that's the one I needed. Oh, you can go online and
right.
Check it out. It's like,
right.
And then there's all these books sitting in the office in boxes because they don't hand them out. If you ask them, did you get a contract book? Yeah. You had to go ask for it. It's like, that's not going to help me none. I guess I got to go down there and ask for it because they used to come out and pass them out. Want everybody to have one.
Or
now
they
it's like they're golden.
Them.
They don't want to. Yeah. What was
they
that website
them.
Again? What was that website again to get on and see the white pages?
UAW.org/board 2023.
Now, the whole thing will be on there, right? In case I don't get books again? Because, I mean, those are very hard to come by sometimes at my plant. Well, they're in the office and you got to go ask for it.
Yeah, it's just the changes that are made from the last agreement. It should be the copy
okay.
of the master agreement. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. And there's a difference between a copy of the master agreement, because that's in different sets. It usually comes in 3 to 5 books. One will be like supplemental income. One will be health and safety. One will be your general provisions, stuff like that. What most everybody's supposed to be given is a condensed version of the national contract. Everybody should be getting those. You shouldn't have to ask for them. They should be walking out passing those out. It takes anywhere from a year to 18 months to get those. Why? I don't know why. To get them
printed.
That's
a damn good question. Why? I mean, come on. We don't have a union printing company out there? Not anymore. I don't understand it.
They got a lot of their stuff printed out in a hurry right now, so it seems like they know somebody that can print them.
Renegotiate and reopen. That's why it takes so long.
Right. Somewhere hidden in that language, there's somewhere that says that they can, where parties will mutually agree upon, usually, is that heading, where they can open that up. Am I mistaken on that, Eden, or is that about what it comes under?
There's certain items they can mutually agree upon to open up, not the whole contract.
Right. Parts. Usually the important parts.
Oh, by the way, let me, for some reason, we have a 404 file or directory not found, so our chat room is not open. Because of that. So go ahead, Scotty.
Okay. Well, it's just got to get into this book, and I know everybody's got busy schedules. And another thing that kind of upset me on this whole thing with both Ford and Stellantis, and will be with General Motors also, bet you $100 on it, is you're going to go back to work before you ratify agreement.
You
what
know, I never heard of that. I just never heard of this.
Well, we did in 2019.
Yeah, we did.
We didn't did.
We? I think we did too, Scotty. Now that
yeah,
I think
did.
About it.
In my opinion, looking at the highlights, I'd say that going back to work now, because I was having an open mind about this, but seeing the highlights, in my opinion, and going back to work ahead of time is like saying the contract signed, but we'll still let the democratic process roll.
Play out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then when you get the other two companies on board for the highlights, for the highlights that would be more generalized across all three, not some of the specific ones that just pertain to Ford. When you get the other two companies on board with that real quick, I mean, that's got to be a red flag. It's obviously benefiting overall the companies. In my opinion.
313. 313, please mute your phone. There you go, buddy. Thank you. Go ahead. Whoever was talking.
Well,
no, I was done.
Basically, with all these contracts, and I'd hate to say it, is a legacy or traditional, however you want to put it, we'll never get back what we gave up, guys. I mean, we might as well realize that. Okay, and I get the whole point of bringing all the new hires up and the future of the corporations and these young people, all the benefit in the world. You know, God bless them, and, you know, I hope they have a better chance at everything than me. You know, I was very upset that they don't take care of the retirees because they set the path for us and that they didn't try to implement little things they could have done to offset the tension, perhaps, between legacy and non-traditional. But, you know, when it's all said and done, what do you do? You know, I mean, you try to benefit the many versus the few. That's the whole idea of behind the union. And, you know, I guess in some aspects I got to suck it up in that way. You know, am I bitter? Yes. You know, because without us that sacrificed, there wouldn't be a GM and a Chrysler for all these people to nitpick about. But do I still have a job? Yes. Do I make a reasonable amount of money? Yes. Am I like everybody else and want more? Yes. I mean, let's face it.
You're right. You are right.
Page 44, the white page. My wife went and dug in and found that you don't fall off the roll until 90 days. 90 days. If you're on occupational medical leave of absence, greater than 90 days. This is all new language, all underlined, so it's all new language. For those who don't know, you can find your contractual language. If it's underlined, it's all new language. If there's no lines through it or under it, it's the same language as before. And if there's a line through it, that means that language is gone. Just
okay.
A lot of things for people are looking at a whiteboard. Or anyway, that's my wife. My wife found, Jean found that for me. We were talking about it. Well,
we
like
got
said, we'll dig into this. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Scotty.
We're going to, she's going to be digging through this tomorrow. I'll join in tomorrow afternoon when I come home from work, and we'll go through this. And maybe we can do a show tomorrow, but give us some opportunity to kind of go through this. We batted around a little bit today. We got about less than an hour to go. I don't know. I kind of agree with Jesse. The way they sold this thing, it's almost like it's a done deal. And I hope with the other caller that it isn't being treated as a done deal. What happens if they turn the tentative down?
They go back out.
Well, the way they're selling it openly right now would appear to me to be basically the public looking now at the workers again as being greedy. Hey, this is what we got you. We busted our asses, and we're putting all the highlights out there that sound great to somebody that's not in the industry and doesn't understand what you're going through and doesn't care to know that, but yet they see exactly what, say, new hires or temps would see, which is those dollar signs, and like, what else can you ask for? Well, this did not end tiers, and that means that this is pretty much these types of things that still do not end tiers. It is going across all three. It's not just Ford being the first one to do a tentative deal, in my opinion. And I wasn't quite clear, if anybody can clarify this. So they did boost in contribution for the 401k. For those that have 401k, they also did a boost for those that are eligible, that are active, that are eligible for a pension in retirement, including those that are already retired. So being that traditional, legacy, whatever you want to call it, tier one, for those members that are active, that have a pension and 401k, that means that they are getting a boost both under both, as they want to call it, both retirement plans, correct?
But you're getting a boost, but is it equivalent to the 24% inflation that we've had over the last 3 years? It's $5 a year of service. That don't even
No, I'm not asking that. I'm asking for clarification on whether or not a legacy person who has both a pension and a 401k, are they getting the boost in the 401k as well as that?
No.
5%. So those that hold a pension will not get a boost in their 401k contribution.
No, you can put your max in. The company does not match us. They have not matched us.
No, that's not what I'm asking. That's not what I'm asking. That's not what I'm asking. I know that they don't. The company doesn't match. It's defined what contribution is done from the company in the 401k. What I'm saying is, if you have a pension, if you're legacy, traditional, tier one, whatever you want to call it, if you're in that position right now, you're active worker, you can vote on this contract, and you have a 401k, and you still have the pension 30 years in and out, are you receiving the contribution increase to the 401k that the company is offering through this tentative agreement along with that increase in the pension? That's what I want clarification on. So are you getting an increase to both?
No, they're given from what I understand, from what the language is stating right now, we get a $1,000 push from the company towards our 401k. Okay, federal government mandates how much you can put into your 401k per year. So the company has no say-so in that. Well, you can max it out at whatever, 13.5, whatever it is, at the current level of our own contribution. Okay, when it comes to non-legacy or tier two, I really want to phrase it, the company matches them up to 10% and gives them a dollar an hour towards their health care upon retirement. So if a non-legacy employee takes that 10% and they match out their 401k at $13,000 and the corporation matches them up to $7,500 or $6,500, that's an additional $2 an hour raise plus the dollar an hour they get. So when you look at it, they're not getting a pension, but they are getting over $3 an hour towards their retirement for themselves to invest. So it's all on the individual at that point. You can make a hell of a lot more money and have it available at 59 and a half years old than I can with my $2,200 or $2,500 pension is what the whole point is. I have to live to collect. They don't. Okay. So federal government mandates the match amount we can put in. Yes, we contribute our own money. The company does not match us and does not give us any incentive.
That's correct. The company does not match. I am talking about the defined benefit of the contribution tentative agreement. If you're traditional, you already are guaranteed your pension. And they are talking about adding, I don't care what you want to call it, they're increasing something for the pension, whether you say $5, you know, per service year or 5% or a one lump sum bonus for those that are already retired on a pension. But what I was trying to get an understanding is you're still an active worker qualified for a pension on retirement, and that increase for this tentative agreement affects that pension that you get, but you also get a 401k, correct? currently. So are you also getting that 11% offered or 10% offered contribution?
No.
For the 401k. So you're just getting one or the other.
No, we never have.
Just
one or the other. Correct.
Did they say that in the highlights? Because I might have missed that.
It's always been that way. They took that away in the late 80s. Okay, just and so everybody's clear about something. My father was a UAW rep for 35 years. Out of 41 years, he worked there, okay? And he was skilled trades. He never lost an election, okay? So knowing some of the language and how things have changed, okay, at one time they did contribute a certain amount of money towards their 401k. They took that away. HERS came into effect in roughly 1994 when they brought in temps, but under the tier situation back then, in 3 years, you made max pay. No matter whether you were a temp or not, you went up every 6 months and got a raise. Okay, what they did away with that was in the 01 agreement, I believe, or whatever it was, is when they did away with that, and they implemented the current tier system. Okay, when we had temps before, you could be a temp up to 10 years if you were there, but you made the same wages as the man next to you after your three-year period. So to get this three-year mark in there where everybody's up to scale is the same way it's been roughly since 1994. If that helps everybody out a little understanding, because I hired in as a temp in 1997, I worked 3 years as a temp. By 2000, I was at 2638 or 2658, which was max pay at the time under that contract. Okay, when I transferred, I was one of three people made permanent at that plant out of 300. Okay, and that's when but I lost my vacation time. I had rolled back my years of service towards vacation. That's what I lost. And I lost pension time. But I was now currently a legacy employee at that point.
Okay, Scott, remember Rico? What happened to him anyway? He left our plant making what we were making. He came back making like $15 an hour or something. What was that?
Yeah, he had been a temp at that point for like 8 years, and he got to 28. He got to the same pay that we were at. They hired him in progression, and he had to go back and start out at 15. I think it was 15.65 an hour. And he had to work his way back up for another 8 years to get the full pay scale.
Yeah, he left Friday and came back making about half
the
of
money.
What he was making.
Well, I recommend he get a good lawyer, and I recommend he goes under past practices of what corporations did, okay, and use me and others as examples that they never lost a penny of pay, and he sued the shit out of them.
Yeah, he should do that. Gene, thank you very much for sending me the highlight. I appreciate that.
She says you're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm trying to find that in the highlight. I know I saw what they're going to do with the 401k.
Mm-hmm.
And the 401k does not deal with the traditional. That deals with the in progression and the temporaries. Is just talking about what the price match, and I can't find it. It's in here.
Not the price match, just the contribution.
Oh, the contribution. They're going to do a $1,000 contribution like they did at General Motors the last time around into the profit sharing. But the in progression and the temporaries, that's where the numbers are completely different than from the traditional.
Right. So that $1,000 is not that. That's also for active retire, or excuse me, that's also for active employees with a pension, not
correct,
just retirees with a pension.
One
okay.
time. Yeah, just one time. The retirees are going to get on this Ford language. I'm sure it's going to be the same across. Some of us can remember the $500 gift card, and I think that's what it's going to be like. You're going to get a $500. I hope it's a gift card so you don't have to get taxed on it. You know, if you get taxed on that, it's not going to be $500. It'd be more like probably $300 or $350. They're going to get that. The retirees will get that one time a year for every year of the life of the contract. So
that would start next year, right?
Well, I would hope they'd do it this year.
Well,
I would hope.
Usually everything starts the following year, but you might be right.
Right. You know,
there's no contract.
So,
yeah.
You know, the 11% is going to give the current top rate production a $3.53 an hour raise. And they're expecting the 23 COLA estimate to be 12 cents. So, you know, that's the thing about COLA. You know, it's hard to predict what's going to happen because it gets adjusted quarterly. Adrian was around long enough to remember when we used to look for the board when the COLA come out. And COLA used to, let's say you end up getting $1 an hour for the whole year. Every quarter we go up, look at the board, and it'd tell you when the COLA increased. If you got something, you got something. If you didn't, it stayed the same. But at the end of that year, that rolled over to your base wage starting for the next year. They didn't go back to zero every time.
They always left a nickel, I think, wasn't it, Scott?
Yeah.
I think it was 5 cents, and it build up from there and then rolls over
right.
In your check as your wage, which was nice
right.
If you're getting a pension.
Otherwise known as the nipple fund.
Yeah, there you go.
That was part of the concessions when we gave it up, and 07 was the $2.04 an hour. Was part of that was what our COLA raise was supposed to be rolled into our wages in addition to the last dollar.
Yep.
So that was $3.04 we gave up.
And that was in 2009. Think of all the years. Oh, my
yeah.
goodness.
A lot of years. That was big. When we gave up COLA, that was huge.
Thousands and thousands.
Really...
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, COLA was $1.50 at that time.
Dick Dangan figured out how much the contract would cost us if they passed it. 1 year it was $40,000 for each employee at the span of the contract. That's how much we would have lost, or we did lose, rather.
That was the 07. That's Dick and I sit down on a Saturday
yeah,
and Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
And we sat down, and it was $45,000. But see, like Dick said, you got to remember, a lot of this language is perpetual. So that language kept going forward. So that meant $45,000 every 4 years. You kept losing that money because it's gone. But had you kept it, it would have been worth this much amount of money going forward.
Come on,
so Mr. Bain. What's that?
No, go ahead, Scott.
But Mr. Fain ended everybody's contract. He expired all the contracts. And like Adrian has said before, when you have an expired contract, all that previous language goes goodbye, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Any concessions made go away because they have to make you whole.
Correct. That's why on the highlights, one of the first things on the front page of the highlight says no concessions.
Well, this is the first time that the UAW has voted not to work under the previous agreement until a new agreement is signed. Okay, all the times in the past you worked on the floor under the old agreement. This is the first time they suspended all your representation until the agreement was ratified or you had a tentative. So right now you can still call your union rep out, but you cannot bargain or arbitrate your case.
Yes.
So,
well, there's definitely convention first.
What was that, Scott? Say that.
There has definitely been a lot of firsts on these contracts for everybody.
Yeah, but it's not the best contract. by a long shot, as far as I'm concerned. 1979 contract was huge, a huge benefit to the workers and General Motors anyway. I don't know about the rest.
You are correct. And I will correct Mr. Browning. He is mistaken. This isn't the best contract since Walter Reuther negotiated. It's far from.
You got to remember those guys. We're General Motors. They're at Ford.
Right.
I don't know what they got, but General Motors got. The workers were really taken care of.
Right. Right.
Well, believe me, it's not the best. It's not the best. It's not historic. It's not the best. It's a contract.
Yeah.
So.
It's top-loaded with money. That's what scares me. It's top-loaded with money, and that's what scares me. Because money.
And that's what the companies usually do. They throw money at a problem. They want
that's
us to sign and be done with it.
Give you a signing bonus if it passes. Oh, yeah, that's huge. You got
it's only $5,000, so.
Yeah.
But that's $5,000 more than a lot of them had.
Oh, absolutely. You can't blame them. Go ahead.
I appreciate Thane's attitude and his aggressiveness.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and it's a different approach, and, you know, I'm kind of happy about that in some aspects. But does everybody think he's doing a good job in comparison to the past leadership that were crooks? They just got bigger handouts for themselves.
He's by far the best I've seen since I retired at 35 years. And I've been retired about 7 years. And he's the best outside of the 79. Then we started giving things back. Roger Smith, the CEO of General Motors, and I was laid off. I almost went time for time, but I didn't. I just made it. And Roger Smith said, now you vote for this, you know, giving these back, we'll get people back to work. And that was bullshit, too. But our union went along with it. So we started giving things back, and it hasn't still now.
That's correct.
You know, I have a lot of friends in different businesses, whether it's government or private, you know, heating and air, whatever it is, the trades, different trades outside here. And I haven't heard one of them tell me that their pension was less than $3,000 a month. Okay. Now, when you look at that, and then I go, well, you know, I know that they get a hell of a lot more time sitting on their ass than I do working on an assembly line. I'm sorry. And they don't work as hard. They get paid just as much per hour, if not more than me an hour, even with the current salary increase we're getting.
Right.
And they get a better benefits package through their union when they retire. So it's kind of a slap in my face to know that I have to work longer than they do to even get close, because I have to save a hell of a lot more than they do when they're getting $5,000 to $6,000 a month plus their Social Security.
Hear, hear.
And that's where I have a whole problem with this whole pension thing.
Right. I figured out mine with Social Security and my pension. I get $3,427.61 a month. And
I want to say my father's just around $2,200.
See, that's not right.
I have a pension question.
And that's also paying for my wife. When I die, she'll get something. I don't know what it is.
Right. Surviving spouse. Yeah.
So that was about $200 and something a month, if I remember right.
Now, did you also maintain Blue Cross Blue Shield? For you and your wife, that'd be an extra. That'd be like an additional $45 a month. So you've lost about $300 a month out of your pension.
Right.
To keep Blue Cross Blue Shield and to give surviving spouse benefits.
Yeah. So, if you're not married and you're single, you'd get about 3,700, somewhere in there.
Before taxes.
Well, that's what I get. Yeah, that's what I get a month.
That's after tax.
That's after tax.
There we go.
I get just a little bit more than that, slightly more, but.
Well, you're prettier than I am, Grinder.
Oh, you such a sweetheart. But I only had 22.5 years.
Well, you're still better looking. You got a nice, you know.
Is that why?
That's nice. So.
No, I thank you for that.
I wanted to address
Jesse. You know, Jesse was asking about the 401k and the pension. The legacy workers or members, however you want to describe it, legacy does not get anything from the company put into their 401k.
Gotcha.
I think they could have bargained for 5% match.
Okay. Speaking on that, what's the percentage once you're eligible for Social Security? I know it was brought up a while ago on the show. I don't even remember if I brought it up or somebody else. What's the percentage drop in your pension once you're eligible for Social Security?
Okay.
Not dollar amount, but percentage.
I'm making more money now than I did when I was getting a full pension because I retired before I was 62. And you're forced at 62. They send you a letter like mine February, right? So in January, they sent me a letter saying either you sign up or you're going to lose more than half of your pension. And so they kind of force you to sign up at 62. But if you're working, you know, you got 65, you're 65, you'll make a lot more money than I did. I do.
Okay.
It just keeps going up. 4 years you work past 62, it adds to your pension, your Social Security. So, yeah, you'll make a lot more money than me.
So as far as the pension increase being offered right now for this tentative agreement, they couldn't, so they didn't have to say there was an increase offered on the table, and it could have actually been more economically better for pension holders. Couldn't they have just added language to eliminate the drop, a percentage that you get for your pension when you are on Social Security? Wouldn't that have made sense to do that?
How do we know they didn't try to do that? We really don't know what went on in those negotiations. We weren't there. And they're not telling us everything.
And that's why I'm bringing it up, because they're not going to tell us everything.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
The simple fact is, legacy employees, we are a drain in the system because they have to pay us a pension. Okay. VIVA, for the existing retirees that retired before the bankruptcy or during the bankruptcy and after, is covered under the VIVA program. So health care is not as big a liability for 50,000 workers that are retired, say. Okay. Our pension is always going to be a liability long term. That's why they're willing to offer all this stuff to the new hires, is because they are not a long-term draw in the system. They have no health care. Their liability stops when they quit the job. Their liability with legacy does not stop. That's why they kind of consistently screw us and hold us down, because they want to cut their liabilities going forward to make more money for their shareholders.
Correct. That's why the in-progression and the temps, especially the in-progression workers, you didn't hear anything about anything as far as a pension other than the 401k and no post-retirement health care. You didn't hear that. So that means those people. Well, you're right. And that's something that they banged their drum on for that. And that didn't happen. And the other thing we didn't see is they didn't add, hopefully they didn't take away, the language for credited years over 30. That was usually worth $50 a month for every year credited service you had over. And I didn't see that.
$50 a year, Scott. It's not a month.
It's a year.
Yeah, $50
a year. I mean a year. You're right. $50 for every credited year of service over 30. Thank you. Yes. That's not in there.
See, I thought they took that away. I didn't know they, when I retired, I talked about that or asked about it, and they stopped that. And I think it was 2000, she said 2009, but I'm not sure. I could be dead wrong. My memory is not what it used to be.
A lot of things happened with that GM bankruptcy.
Yeah, it did. A lot of things we don't know about. And
yeah, because your pensions were frozen.
Yeah.
Too, for a time. Because they really wanted them to dissolve your pension.
They wanted
right.
That pretty bad, yeah.
And that's why we made the concession of the cost of living a dollar an hour so that they wouldn't get screwed out of their pensions. And that was the one
thing.
Well,
this is GM. That's about GM.
Yeah.
That's not about all the auto industries.
Well,
that's specifically about GM.
Chrysler that had that problem.
You know, Jesse shared an article from Forbes magazine, of all people, talking about the benefits it is for the corporations to maintain a defined pension plan. And it's a good read.
Actually, J.P. Morgan was the background of that article and discussing that.
Okay.
Oh, about how Wall Street was eliminating the pension?
No, it's
how
more or less a recommendation. I'll send you the article, but it's more or less a advocating for companies to do pensions.
Because I know I read one article about how the 401k came about. Couldn't remember which article that was. And I think you sent that one.
I read everything that I post, so unless I know exactly which article, I kind of have it set aside on my thoughts of what was in that article, but I do usually retain the articles that I read before I post them. But
okay.
We have the 8 people in the switchboard. If you'd like to make a comment or ask a question or whatever, just go ahead and push 1 on your keypad, and we'll get you right on. Oh, 49 people. We only got room for one more caller. So,
Gene found the white pages, new language. If you have a spouse on your retirement, and your spouse passes away, that was added on to your plan, the surviving spouse, if they pass away, you get that money back each month.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm going to have to go load up my 9mm, I think.
No, that's for Ford. That's for Ford only, Don. Only for Ford.
Hold on, honey. I don't need to find the shells yet. Not yet.
And they should get that money back.
Yeah, they should. We should, shouldn't we?
Right. Yep. I never understood that. I remember asking that question.
Damn. I didn't even think about it. But yeah, absolutely they should. Although Cinnamon's 14 years younger than me, and I probably definitely will go out before she will. So she'll be having a party.
Just be careful she don't draw you a nice warm bath with the radio next to the bathtub. I know that's like. If she starts the hair dryer up in the bathroom while you're in the tub, get out.
Damn. Got to keep that in mind.
You wind up with curly hair like our doctor.
Yeah.
I'll go see the doc
in a few weeks.
I just want to say that I spoke to some retirees this week from Ford who did not like Sean Fain at all.
Is that right?
But as they told me this week, they had to say that they agree with some of the things that he's done, that they are appreciative of the way that these negotiations have been going, that he's been coming on and telling you things. Because this is something new. It never happened in the past.
That's true.
So.
You're right about that. Keeps us in the loop, and that's really good.
Yes. So I was shocked, you know, that they saw, you know, that they were willing to say that they see some good. Because they were with the old regime, and, you know, and they totally trusted the old regime. And so for them to say, you know, they agree with much of what he's doing and that they were appreciative of him doing these Facebook Live.
You know, I'm thinking back, I see what Sean has done, and you look at Dennis Williams, why couldn't he have done that? Why couldn't he
have done
something? Yeah, Jones, go back to even Gettlefinger before he retired. They started making a profit. Why didn't we get something back? But none of them, not one of them. And they were, to me, and I'm just going to, this is how I think. I think they got paid off.
That's why they went to prison.
Well,
no.
it's easier to fill the coffer of one person than to lift the tides of many.
There you go. Build me a log cabin. I did so well for the membership. These people should not get a pension from the UAW. They just shouldn't get a pension, and they are, and that's what pisses me off.
And why didn't we go after that?
I don't think that has anything to do with the contracts between us and the corporations, but maybe after everything's settled, maybe they can do something then, because this has nothing really to do with the corporation.
Yeah.
It's a UAW.
They should have went after them for embezzlement.
They absolutely should have. They didn't get a penny back from anybody that I know of, anyway.
Nope.
And then the prison sentence got commuted to home because of COVID.
Oh, so you mean they couldn't get slammed in the ass?
There you go, Missy.
I would have liked them. I would have loved to have heard about them getting fucked in the pooch.
I left the door and she walked right in. Way to go, Missy.
Yep.
Damn.
Hey,
oh,
you know the one that came out smelling like a rose? Wasn't Williams. It was Jones. His sentence got commuted down to like 2 months. He retires on like a 127 acre spread in a $1.2 million home down in Texas. And don't forget, folks, private investigators found offshore accounts that the feds never found.
Yeah, and we haven't heard a thing about those offshore accounts.
Nor will you.
Yeah.
No.
Well, maybe since he's in Texas, the illegal aliens will take care of them.
Yeah, if he's got that much land, I'm sure they're crossing his ranch.
Yep.
Maybe they put up some tents.
Well, I'm still waiting to hear who those other, 18, 19 people that were being investigated were.
Never
heard.
Never
yeah.
heard?
Nope, never heard
that
word.
Not a word.
And there is no new report out because I looked for it today.
Wow.
But I would like to see, at least if we're not getting anything back from these people, I'd like to see us stop paying their pension, the UAW pension. They can't do anything about the corporation's pension. But they can do something. I think they can do something with the UAW pension. Now, I could be wrong. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a gynecologist, but being a...
But that is true, Don. They can. And like I said, they could be charged with embezzlement.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you lose your pension.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right.
And I think the law states, I think it's 7 years is the statute of limitations on that, isn't it? So they got plenty of time.
I don't know,
Adrian,
Scott.
Why do you think they go after them?
What's that?
Excuse me?
Why do you think, Adrian, they don't go after them?
Why do I think they should go after them?
No, why do you think that they haven't gone after them embezzlement?
Well, think about it. I mean, you know. You had Rory Gamble come in as president. See, all of this passed the baton. They still took care of each other. So you pass the baton to the next one that's going to make sure that nothing's done to you.
Just like
then Rory Gamble passed the baton to Ray Curry because... Gary Jones pulled Ray Curry into the Secretary of Treasury spot. I mean, you had all of this going on. And these people were watching out, you know, for them. Well, you know, I'm willing to do this or that. I got to pay the excess on the legal bills. So I'll pay the excess on the legal bills because, you know, they had like a malpractice insurance.
Right.
And it only pays so much for their lawyers.
Right.
So it's just a big old mess.
Dennis Williams hit that limit, though, didn't he? He was the one that they
didn't
said.
Didn't he go over?
Yeah, he said, you're topped out. You owe us like $152,000. I think it tapped out at $300,000.
Right.
But I got a question for you, though, Adrian. So let's say, theoretically, we was to bring these charges up, take them to a court of law for embezzlement. If we were successful to get that UAW pension back. Because of the positions they held, they got other pensions from other corporations. Would they also be able to lose those too?
We have nothing to do with other people's pensions. We only deal with the UAW pension.
Right, but what I'm saying he wouldn't have had access to those other pensions if they would not have been in the position in which they were in with the UAW. That would have never been available to them. That's my train of thought.
They all worked for the companies, so they would have had those pensions. They worked for the companies before they went to wherever they went to within Solidarity. So I don't know about pensions from other places. But anyway, we don't have anything on that. The only thing is when you file a suit, you can come up with a monetary amount.
Right.
Okay, so you know, you go from there. But they all should have lost their memberships. Now, Gary Jones is the only one I think that gave up his membership. But the rest of them, they didn't give up their membership. And their memberships should have been taken away from them. When your membership is taken away, do you get the pension? The health care, I mean, you know, they had the top of the line on everything. But, you know, that's for another day.
Yeah, that's when everything, you know, we get this all settled. You got to remember, Sean, this started when, July? Can't remember when it was.
With the negotiations started July. Sean came in February.
Was it February?
Yeah, it was March. I know he was there. He was sworn in the morning of the bargaining convention.
Yeah.
It was Sunday, March 25th.
March.
Okay. So it was March.
So he got thrown into the fire pretty quick. So we'll see when this is all settled and everything calms down, and we'll see. We can't.
In my opinion, from an.
Go ahead.
I'm so sorry, Don.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
In my opinion, the appearance at face value right now in me is, first of all, I appreciate where we are from where we were a year ago or 4 years ago, but I'm not quite understanding why the toxic corruption that was going on and during 2019 negotiations, the unfolding of a lot of it, why that contract keeps getting compared to this contract to compare gains. I don't know if that's to appeal to a lot of the membership that might have gotten hired in because of the 2019 contract, conversion of temps and whatnot, but I recall the convention and one of the resolutions brought up for the Constitutional Convention to have added in the Constitution to end tiers. I'm clearly understanding now with a tentative agreement that doesn't end tiers why that was the case. What I don't understand is current time throughout all campaigning for elections, for the direct elections, as well as for campaigning for these contract negotiations, signs were made up for ending tiers. Nowhere was a sign stating end wage tiers, but that changed course in public speaking by our union to ending wage tiers about 3 weeks prior to our contract deadline. It was starting to be spoke about ending wage tiers specifically. So we still have a tiered system. Teamster still has a tiered system through their UPS contract. Yeah, ending wage tiers, they might have done that, but even the members of UPS had discussed that what was going on didn't end tiers. Ending tiers would close all division, in my opinion, and yes, a lot of gains for those of us that never experienced the losses, yeah, there's a lot of gains there. I see right now, because they only threw out the highlights, what I see, in my opinion, is continued greater flexibility for the companies. So let's say you're not getting a pension, which is the majority of UAW active members now. You're not getting a pension, you're getting 401k. Great contribution increase, no doubt. You can put your own money in, no doubt. Who puts money in your 401k contribution when you're laid off? Who has control of those layoffs, which then means flexibility to control spending money putting that into 401k. You're not going to put in your own 401k when you're laid off. The company's not going to, because that's uncompensated time. However, it's in their control to do layoffs, to also control those additional background expenses aside from running operations in real time. But when you get a pension, you can be laid off for a year if you can, if your benefit allows you to be laid off for a year and whatnot, and you're still going to get that pension. And that just right. goes along with the other factors of the market. So the other thing is all this money that's being said the contract will cost. Again, flexibility. Lowest seniority will be those converted. They also, the companies also, in real time, do restructuring on manpower, the workforce, reduction in force needed. And we really don't know what's going to happen with the EVs, because now, as of late, we're getting more CEOs here in America acknowledging the face value challenges that most of America has been stating. They're acknowledging it now, instead of PR making it sound like, hey, we'll get through this. I think they're just as concerned. But as far as pension versus 401k, if you're getting a pension and you're getting the reasonable wages that's being offered, you can invest into your own 401k. And again, if you're not making money, you're not putting into it. But in this case, it's phenomenal flexibility for the companies. And if a layoff is hurting the company, why did they profit so well and during the year of COVID with 10 weeks of the plant shut down, not building product? Us workers are across the state, where a lot of these factories are, we suffer lack of income the most. They still profited and during that time.
Jesse?
Yes, ma'am.
The pension is based on hours worked. Not years of service, as everyone thinks that it is. They use your hours worked, and that's how they come up with your years of service.
Yeah.
Your 401k, and it's my understanding that they take your annual wage and whatever the multiplier is, that's the amount that they put into your 401k.
Gotcha.
Oh, we've only got a few minutes to go. Scotty, are we doing a show tomorrow night? You're the one that brought it up.
I think we could probably work on maybe an hour show and maybe kind of read through this highlight a little bit better instead of trying to do it on the fly. Also, real quick, before I forget, I want to get on Adrian's favorite bandwagon. Well, I guess it'll be yours too. This is opening for the Medicare this month. Don't fall for all these advertisements that we've talked about on this show before. They're not from Medicare.
Adrian made that clear a million times on this show. Do not jump into this. It'll screw you up. But go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt
you. Do not call those numbers. You have one now that's telling you about they'll pay your groceries and your utilities. That's because those people have not only Medicare, they got Medicaid. And so don't call them numbers.
Yeah.
Call your benefit rep at your local. If you can't get in touch with them, call the benefit rep at your region. Or turn your health care card over and dial that number.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
don't forget about the over-the-counter products.
That's right.
We only got to December 31st. You got $150 there, which will go up in January to $200.
That's right. So don't let it go, folks. I don't know the, I do not know the website if you don't have your little catalog, but I'll have
yeah,
it for
I forgot.
You. I have to, but we'll get it to you so you can look up the products you want and get them. And you get them quick, too, folks. Just don't do
three
the cough syrup.
3 to 5 days.
Unless you like whiskey, don't deal with the cough syrup. Woo! Yeah. Little bottles, I knocked the hell out of you. I ain't lying. Oh, God, it's the grossest tasting crap. It kills your cough, but it'll almost kill you drinking it. So.
Yeah, whiskey's good for you.
Yeah, I know, Missy. Well, you've stated that before. Whiskey's good for you.
It is. I like whiskey.
Yeah, that's what Bob said. Yeah.
I'd rather have that than a beer any day.
I get that girl drunk and she gets wild. So, Scott, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock?
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
Okay, we'll be here. You probably have to call me to remind me.
I'll try to do that. Don't forget to post it, Scott. I will try to do that as I get home, Adrian. And maybe we can even get Jeff out of bed early for it. I don't know.
Yes. We're not going to do a show unless Jesse shows up anymore.
I would have still been sleeping had it not been for my wife saying, "Hey, you know time's passed and you gotta get up."
Yeah. Well, I like your wife, and you better listen to her.
Yeah.
Listen to her, loser. That's all I'm saying.
I do. That's why I'm still alive.
I did in my first two messages, but the third one I started listening. So we're still married. 3 times is a charm, baby. Okay, ladies
and
gentlemen, we got about I don't know, a couple minutes. Anybody got any closing thoughts?
I want to be positive about, because a lot of this, there's motions. The ride's not done on the contract being voted. This is the first of 3 companies, and we're going to dive into this stuff deeper in the coming days. But I do want to echo Adrian saying in the past that we should still be grateful for what the bargaining committees have done this go around.
Yeah. Because
I've never witnessed it like this. The aggressive approach, the militia approach to getting where we're at, I believe was very genuine. Definitely a tide turn. But I also want to say best of luck for all UAW Ford employees, brothers and sisters, in whatever the outcome is when you get to vote, that it works out for the best of everybody.
There you go. And don't forget, look at these white pages and dig into them, because when they start throwing money at you, first thing, make sure you look closely and what else they might be taking away. I hope not. But I don't trust any contract when they start right off the bat telling you about the money you're getting. We fell for that a few times.
I got a quick question for everybody that's dealt with white pages in the past or just PDFs. Is there such a thing as creating a PDF, which is basically what we're going to have for white pages? Is there 2 ways to create it, one where it can't be edited and then one where it's able to be edited? And the reason I ask that is because if this PDF, when you go into it, if it allows you to edit it, that can also be edited, like some have said, if there's language saying that you can change things after ratification. But if it's not able to be edited and we are able to download that, then we can keep what was presented to us as facts and not something that could be changed later.
Yes,
normally they don't
that.
Change those. They don't
right.
change them. Okay? And what I'm talking about, what they do It has nothing to do with the white pages that's posted, nothing to do with the highlights that they give you. It's after the ratification vote is when things can get changed. And they don't change none of the other stuff.
Well, that's
you
what I'm kind of getting at.
Changes until something happens.
That's kind of what I'm getting at, Adrian, for the editing portion is if that PDF is not able to be edited, if you or I couldn't do it or whatever, if it's a hard PDF, then what we see, because it's online and available to download, if it can be edited, we see what we have, you vote on it, it can just be updated possibly without our knowledge after the fact. That's what I'm saying.
They don't do that.
Okay.
They don't go back and fix that. The only reason I could tell you that is because normally I print all of that stuff out. Been doing that for years, and I've never seen where they went in and updated anything.
Okay.
Okay. But if a situation comes up and it's not in the contracts or in the white pages or it's not in the highlights, it's like, where did this come from?
Right.
Give that email address again, Scott, so people got time to look it over.
Yes.
UAW.org/Ford2023
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
And Jesse, when they put those white pages out in PDF file, their copy is locked. So if you would be able to copy that off, then if there's any changes later on down the road, you've got the locked copy.
That's what I was getting at, but I also, I'll be honest, I trust Adrian with everything before I trust anything that we don't have control over.
I got you.
I trust a word.
Well, I decided I'm not going to use my ink this year.
There you go.
I might do it on the highlights, but I'm not going to do it on the white pages.
Oh, come on. You're getting an increase in your pension.
No.
She's getting $500 once a year for the next 4 years. The people who were waiting for this contract will get the $300 a month extra.
Right.
That means you got to take her out to dinner, Jesse.
All right. We got to go, folks. Of course, leave it to Jesse to ask a question like that at the very last 40 seconds of the show. Way to go, Jeff.
We'll see you at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, folks.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't be asleep now. Wake up.
I will see you all.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's not fall asleep.
And thank you very much to everybody that came in. We did hit in the switchboard a few times. I appreciate it. And the ladies from Arlington wanted to thank us for playing, the Ford deal. And you're welcome, ladies, and thank you for broadcasting the show in Arlington, Texas, wherever you are.
John, did you mute me?
You're on the strike line, I think. I think that's what she said. I got the email somewhere. I appreciate that. So everybody have a good night. We'll see most of you tomorrow night, I hope. And
hello, this is the IIAP, the Illegal Immigration Assistance Program, a taxpayer-funded division of OATNUT for Spanish Press 1, Portuguese 2, Arabic 3, Farsi
4, our brothers and sisters coming over the border.
7, Italian 8, and if you insist on English, please stand by.
If you're thinking about illegal immigration, be careful when you're choosing the nation, because breaking the law in some countries is frowned upon. Imagine that. Sneak into China, they'll call you a spy, ship you to Mongolia till you die, and in the Sudan, they'll hang you and the camel you rode in on.
Yeah, and don't go hiking and enter Iran, or you might never be heard from again. And in Mexico, you might face a firing squad. Yeah, forget all about going to North Korea. That's a great example of a bad idea. So when it comes down to it, there's only one option you got. Yeah, come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay. Should you get caught illegally immigrating, come to the USA. It will be your lucky day. Cause when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting. Like healthcare, welfare, free education, help with your voter registration and driver's license and credit cards and license plates for your car. Lots of jobs for you to do and employers who'll turn a blind eye to. Come to the USA. No need to worry about the Constitution. We'll help you start a house of prostitution if that's the kind of work that you want to do. You see, those gringo infidels are crazy. They'll give citizenship to your new baby. So you see, there's really only one choice for you. Come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay. Should you get caught illegally immigrating, I said come to the USA. It will be your lucky day. Cause when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting. Yeah, you get public housing and cable TV and food stamps and even government cheese. The borders are a swinging door. Go home for a visit and come back for more. There's sanctuary and amnesty. Bring the whole family eventually. Yeah, come to the USA.
This has been a public service message sponsored by...
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.